Knot Radio. Okay, welcome to the show. This is Tom Nelson, coming to you from Urbana, Illinois. We have a special show today. Chuck Lucas is from Northside, Chicago. Chuck, are you there?
I'm there, but remember, Steve Lucas is fine from now on. That's an awkward name. I can cut about at least four letters off of that moniker there. That's much better. But anyway, thank you.
And our special guest, Teddy Ballgame, is down there in sunny state of Florida at the Grapefruit League. Ted, can we hear you there?
Hello.
How you doing? Welcome to the Baseball Zone.
Doing great.
Radio. Nice to have you back again. You're down in Florida watching some Grapefruit League. How are the games going?
I got a question, before we get into the, I got a question for Ted. I hate to interrupt, Tom, but are you paying more than $50 a night for this room, or no? What are we doing on that? Come on, I need to know that first.
Right.
I think our listeners are traveling.
I have to say, the place that I've been coming to for 20 years was sold this year.
I know.
They're doing all kinds of rehab work.
I know,
and so I found another place that's under the radar.
Okay. For those of you listening that want to make travel plans and watch any ballgame to give you that recommendation, I can tell you firsthand from seeing places you stay to ignore the recommendation. But I just wonder, isn't that same vicinity price-wise?
It's a discount.
Okay,
all right, that's good. I'm known to find discounts. Sorry, interruption. Anyway, we're talking baseball.
So what have you been watching since I last talked to you? I talked to you on Friday, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, now my baseball trip to the Grapefruit League is more than half over. I saw game 3 and game 4.
Okay.
I saw the third game yesterday on March 3rd, and it was in Dunedin. Cold, windy, rainy.
Cold is relative when you're talking to people from Illinois. Cold is like...
It's probably like 50 degrees, probably, at least.
It was 60 degrees, but the wind was
60.
Like 100 miles.
Okay. What is it in Chicago right now?
It was in the 20s today. It was 20,
okay, so cold is relative now. Okay, go ahead, Ty.
Well, the rain is pouring down.
Have you gone to the Chatterbox? You know the Chatterbox is in Dunedin? I actually know that place. It's supposed to be a good breakfast place right by the bowling alley there. You know the bowling alley is right by the ball field there? My in-laws swear by the Chatterbox, if it's still there. Did you see the big bird today or not?
Well, this was yesterday I was in Dunedin.
Well, yesterday.
Yeah, the big hurt. No, he's not playing at all yet.
No, he hasn't. No, I heard that.
I haven't even seen him in the dugout. The Jays have been the home team for the two games that I've seen them. So, but they hosted the always lost Tampa Bay Devil Rays. John Jones hit two balls over the right field wall, two opposite field homers.
Yes, John Jones. I'm happy about that.
Are you salivating when you heard Johnny Gomes?
I love hearing anything good about Johnny Gomes.
Well, that's something you usually hear a lot in March and you hear it in April, but then you never hear it the rest of the season.
That sounds about right, what Johnny Gomes
said. And don't be prepared to hear it again.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I don't know if you guys know this, and I don't know if it's really true, but somebody told me this yesterday, that the Devil Rays are the first team in baseball history to have a winning record at home, 41-40, and still lose 100 games.
Oh, really? This was last year?
Yeah, they were 21-60 on the road.
Wow.
And 41-40 at home.
That's
what I heard.
If it's true, I'm a little upset because the first and only... The second time in my life that I was in a skybox at U.S. Cellular Field to watch the beloved White Sox was August 31st, and the D-Rays knocked us off in 10 innings. It was a bad loss, so that wouldn't have been one of the 21. I don't know. That's an interesting stat. I got to find that. That'll be interesting.
I think they ended the season 3-23 on the road.
Uh-huh.
So
that was one of the wins.
That might have been one of the wins, right?
Yeah. His oldest relatives are in the booth with me. It was kind of annoying, but they're nice folks. He's a nice guy, I guess. He's a nice player. You know, I actually like him better than... This is not like a smokescreen. I know he won't get picked in our league, but I like him better than I thought I did, actually. He's not terrible.
Well,
you're crazy. You guys... Huh? Ben Zobrist. I don't think he's bad.
Yeah. You know, I saw him in Arizona, and he was hitting the ball line drives every time up.
Yeah.
He had pretty good minor league numbers. He hit pretty well in the minors a couple of years. He's not... He's about 20, what, 3 or 4, maybe? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. However, Devil Rays also have a kid by the name of Brendan Harris.
Uh-huh.
And he hit the ball real well yesterday, too. They started out with DJ Upton at second base.
Really?
Then they put him in center field. And he's not going to make anybody forget about Say Hey.
What happened?
Oh, I think they need to try on the catcher's gear next. He lost the ball out there that I think Chuck, you or I would have caught. So I don't know.
Oh, get it. You thought you and I would get it. You know, totally, you know how random I get, but you know what I read this week and I had kind of forgotten? Do you guys remember that Wanda Uribe started at least one and maybe a few games when he was with Colorado in center field?
Uh-huh.
I had completely forgotten that. Do you guys know that?
Our own
Wanda Uribe was a center fielder for a little while.
Well, you know, last year when the White Sox would rest the regular center fielder.
Yeah, of course they said Ramakoliak.
They put Ramakoliak out.
I know where you're going, yeah.
I was always saying, why don't we just stick Paul Konerko out in center?
Because he's well. I think Konerko would do is find a gem.
Yeah, you kind of think Makoviak's got a shot at it, but he never does.
No, the good news, Ted, I don't know if you thought, well, you've been down there, so I don't know. Up here, I think Ozzie has said he has no plans to play Makoviak in center. It's unfortunate that it took him 162 games to figure that out, but it was good. I'm glad, at least, it gratified that I like Robbie Mack, just not there. It wasn't his fault. He just was going with a skip roll of the game.
You kind of lose a little respect, though, for a guy whose wife repeatedly goes to the team's management and says, my husband should be playing more.
Did she say that?
Oh, yeah. Well, she was very vocal that he should be out in the field more often.
Maybe she thinks he's still on the Pirates. I don't know. Just an idea. In that case, he probably should have been playing more. Yeah, our team, I was glad to see Mountie played, and I like him off the, you know, I mean, we hope that he doesn't, we hope she never, let's hope Mrs. Bekoyak never sits with Mrs. Cintron.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was a bad idea. No, well, I shouldn't have said that. I did. What can I say?
So, you were out of...
You're watching the race? Did they find any pitches
yet? I was just going to say yesterday, it was a pretty good pitching matchup at the beginning of the game. It was A.J. Burnett and Scott Kazmir.
Oh, no, I
don't
know.
Both of them were looking pretty good, and then there was a lot of Japanese media on hand again. This time they were there to see Tomo Oka, so there was no confusion, no Dice K in the house or anything like that. But Tomo went out there, got lit up for 4 runs before he could even say anything.
Well, it is the spring. We don't worry about spring numbers at all from a Tomo Oka owner.
No, I am. Do you still have him on your app team?
You just kiboshed a deal with me and Nelly. No, I still do. I like him. I like his. Did I tell you he developed a new pitch? It's not true, but did I tell you that? At least maybe I can get something for him. But
Johnny Gomes seems to like his new pitch.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, Johnny likes every pitch in March and April. You remember? Jody Garrett, Johnny Gomes. There's a theme here in some of the outfielders that Nelly has grabbed recently. But I'm like, that about this time to rip the whole program.
Today was a Clearwater day. So I went and saw the Yankees play against the Phillies.
Oh, beautiful Bright Field. Know it well. Saw both of them.
Bright House Field. Today I was out in the sun. Beautiful day. 9,000 fans on hand.
Wow.
A lot of them Yankee fans. Go figure.
Of course.
The guy that threw out the first ball was Gary Maddux.
Awesome.
Looking good. Looks like he could still play. Cover. I don't know if you guys remember the line about Maddux.
Two-thirds of the
earth is covered by water, and the other third is covered by Gary Maddux.
Yeah.
I don't remember that line, but no, I did. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, everything.
I know. It was good. Maddux, and he came up with Gary Matthews, and of course, don't worry, I'm not going there, guys. I'm not going to the sun. But was Maddux
well, Gary Maddux was with the Phillies there, too, you know? Gary
Maddux. Oh, was he? I didn't know that. How was he?
And I don't know if Matthews didn't share his juice with them or what. But.
Yeah.
No, we just broke a record. We won a whole show last week.
Whole show last week.
Oh.
Ted talks about
Juice. Because he didn't really say the S word. He just said juice.
Yeah,
maybe
but
the
we
juice.
Know.
There could be, could be a little Jack Daniels. Could be Jack Daniels. You never know what the juice is. You never know.
The Yankees only brought 4 guys there, though, today. They brought
4 guys and the whole team?
Yeah, only
four. It was like Eddie Trainer, the king in his court. Another Eddie Trainer.
Exactly.
I was doing one of those because the new kid they got. Oh, go ahead, tell me. Who were the four pitchers?
Oh, you want to hear the 4 guys? They brought Robinson Cano, who changed his number this year from 22 to 24. Don't know if there's significance.
Ted, I talked to Sean Lee, our other co-host, about that.
Yeah.
And he said that's not really a big secret or anything. I think that they're pretty much paving the way for Clemens right now.
Oh, really?
That's what that resonated with.
Well, you know, Clemens was on ESPN, and they asked him if he's coming back, and he did the same number he did last year.
Right. I'm not saying that Clemens' deal is in the works or anything, but I think that what they're doing is they're pretty much getting everything ready in case there is. So I think that they've got that in their mind that they're going to try to get Clemens.
Yeah, that's
what I want to be sure that that's clear, that's what they're trying to do.
So, Roger's probably coming too.
Right. I think that
you talk about numbers. You were talking about the Frank Thomas, and now you have the perfect segue on the change in numbers.
Right.
I forgot who Frank Thomas. I forgot who had 35 before Frank did with Toronto, but he just gave him a number without question. He was glad, and Frank commissioned a portrait commissioned an artist to paint the gentleman's portrait and that of his kids, and the guy was really touched. I wish I remember who it was that just gave up his number.
Oh, that's
cheap. Yeah, he liked it, you know. But I'm thinking, gee, Frank got away a little bit cheap there. Maybe. Right. I don't know. Depending upon what the artist charged and all that stuff.
Sure,
maybe.
Sure.
Who knows?
The other guys that were there were Johnny Damon, Jason Giambi, Melky Cabrera, and Miguel Cairo.
Okay.
But Melky Cabrera, a lot of Yankee fans are wearing this shirt around spring training. I've seen about three or four people have it. It says, got Melky.
Yeah.
And then it's Cabrera on the back. That's kind of good.
That is good, but I don't think Melky feels too much this year, do you?
No. The Yankee fans, too. They got Damon on the team. But, you know, he's an old Red Sox guy.
Right.
You know, with the long hair and the beard thing from the Red Sox days. So when the Yankee fans were saying, yeah, I got an old Damon joke. He says, look like Jesus, throws like Mary.
Yeah.
I guess he does.
Doesn't he look a little bit like, in the long hair days and the beard, doesn't he kind of remind you of the Geico caveman? A little bit. I know that's his nickname. But
could be, yeah. I think that's a very good resemblance.
I don't think they've ever been seen in the same picture, I don't think. But, shoot, I don't want to plug Geico. Sorry, Tom. I don't want to. Yeah,
maybe we'll get some money on that deal.
Yeah, I think so.
So, Ted, I was wondering, did you get a chance to see Chris Bethock, the University of Illinois grad for the Yankees? I know he's on the squad.
Well, the funny thing is that I'm looking for this guy, and all of a sudden I see he's in the game, and the next thing I know, a ball's hit to him, and 5-3, throws it, no problem at
awesome.
All, playing third base.
That is so cool.
5-3, he is?
No, get out of here, Luke. So,
nice.
So anyway, he throws it from third to fourth.
Oh, you mean 5-3?
There you go. Okay.
Oh,
there
I thought he was like the successor to Freddie Pop then. Sorry.
No, scoring at home, 5-3 on your scorecard.
Does anybody score anymore other than us?
Yeah, there are people.
I saw three today, Chuck.
What's that?
I saw three today.
You saw three people scoring?
Yes.
Nice.
I don't think people score at home, though.
Did Bethock get a chance to hit?
Yeah, he did it three times. His first time up, he drove the ball between the shortstop and third baseman for an RBI single to left.
Awesome.
The second time up, he came up with the bases loaded, hit the ball right on the money. The Phillies have this young guy. His name's Chris Roberson.
Uh-huh.
He can flat out fly. He's playing shallow center field. The ball's hit a screamer right over his head. He goes racing back and makes the catch on basic line drive. So he took away at least a double with the base loaded. And then Basic, his third time up, hit a routine grounder to the shortstop, and it was a bang-bang play at first base.
Okay.
So this guy is busting his tail.
Yeah, okay.
So, I'm talking to some Yankee fans in front of me.
Yeah.
And one of the guys goes, hey, you know what? I saw that kid on Friday at Al Lane Field. He hit a home run over the left field wall.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
What level did he play at last year, Tom?
Honestly, I don't even know. I just heard earlier this year he was going to be on the Yankees roster, and I wanted to make sure Ted kept an eye out for him. He saw the Yankees play, and sure enough, he saw him play this year. I think maybe Double A last year.
What was his full name again? I know you had it.
Chris Basic,
B-A-S-I-C,
and he's University of Illinois grad.
Does he have all the basic skills? Rim shot.
He's a middle infielder, second, third, short, and he hit pretty well for the University of Illinois. 325. So he's got the stick, and I would think he'd be able to field pretty well too. So I'm keeping an eye on him.
He's surprisingly quick for a big man.
Is he big?
He can run down the line.
What else did you see today for in the Phillies Yankees game?
Well, Cole Hamels looked really good.
Oh, he was pitching.
I think he pitched four innings today.
Now we know. You're probably the only guy who's interested in him, Tom.
Hey, Chuck.
What's his name again? Let me write it down. Wait, can I write? What was the guy's name again? You like Cole?
Yep.
K-O-H-L. What's his last name? Oh, wait, I've heard of him.
Here's the deal, Chuck.
We have a deal going?
It's spring training because Carl Pavano was on the hill for the Yankees.
Yikes.
Yeah, because it could be a regular season game if Carl was out there. Oh, sorry,
right,
Carl. This could be
his
year. I actually saw Carl, when I was there in 2005, I saw Pavano pitch against the Reds. And then, I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah.
But Yankee staff might be pretty good. Now, I can't remember the guy from Japan that they got with an I. Sorry. Do you guys remember who that is? What was the Dice K line from Friday, by the way? I was on, it crawled across my screen that I never clicked on it. Did you guys know?
Two innings. Was it 5 Ks? One hit? It was a leadoff double?
Ks. Yeah.
He threw 19 strikes out of 25 pitches.
I think he's got to be the first pick in any EFA or Stratum player or any of those guys that use the dice. Right? Dice K, you got to be like a
sure.
Right. That could really be insufferable if the guy was really good, which he very well could be.
So that's what I basically saw today.
So what's the atmosphere or the mood down there for among the fans, the press, and all that?
Well, today we had a lot of Yankee fans there, so there was a lot of obnoxiousness in the air.
Wow.
Tell me what you really think there, Chad.
we don't think that way about our podcast Yankee listeners.
No, we don't.
The other obnoxious.
Let's make it clear before we get all kinds of phone
calls. Yes, it's not No, it's not you guys who are listening that are Yankee fans. It's those other Yankee fans.
Right.
Those are the cats.
Yeah, those are the other guys, yes.
But it's interesting to be a lot of Yankee fans in Florida. I don't know if they're major Yankee fans everywhere. Probably.
Oh, yes. Everywhere. Yeah. I've got two more games coming up.
1999,
I went
to see the Devil Rays in the beautiful, is it Tropicana still? Tropicana Field? In 1999, uh-huh. They were playing the Yankees, and my in-laws were going crazy because it was like, 75% Yankee fans.
Oh, sure.
You like it so much. Why don't you go back to New York?
They train right down the street, too, though.
They do, and it's a long tradition. Speaking of which, did you guys know the Dodgers are vacating the Dodger Town at the end of this year, I think.
Yeah,
to share a facility with the Sox, the White Sox.
And the Indians are leaving, too. They're going back out to Arizona.
When I was a kid, the Indians always were in Arizona, though. Do you remember that?
Right.
The Indians always wanted to be in Arizona.
They're going out to Glendale.
Yeah, beautiful Glendale. Everybody's going to Phoenix. How many teams train in Florida? There's still over 10, isn't it? I don't know. You get the Reds? I don't know.
So what do we know about... what do we know about the Cubs White Sox team today?
11-2. What was it? 14-2.
13-2 White Sox.
The White Sox won. Okay.
Right.
They had one game sometime.
The new look Cubs.
Yeah. No comment. That's it.
It's a Cubby swagger. I'm not gonna get too excited.
You can't do a 2-on-1. It's just no fun, right?
No, I'm not. That is not. That's like that is not right.
I'm not gonna get no season.
What about the Aussie Brendan McCarthy flap? Did you guys catch that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, he said he hates McCarthy. McCarthy said something about the Sox clubhouse being bad last year and kind of negative, so...
But we already know that.
What's that?
We already know that, though, right?
That it was negative last year? Well, it'd be negative because they didn't make the playoffs.
Well...
That was why it was negative. But Ozzie... I'm just playing like Ozzie to lash back, but he took offense at Brandon Mack's comments, and I hate him. How could he say that? But then he went third person, too. He went third person.
Oh, did he?
Ozzie Guillen is not a negative person.
What bad word did he call McCarthy?
He did not take
okay.
any...
All right.
No.
Call him a bad name? Okay, good.
It's a politically correct bad name.
He went through that sensitivity training. That must have helped.
Yeah, he's better.
He's better.
He is. He never was a problem to begin with in my eyes. Because you know what? You win a title after 8 years, and you pretty much can do anything you want in my eyes as a long-suffering Saxman. I'll be honest with you guys.
And we can say the same thing after this year, right? The Cubs can say the same thing after this year.
Who do we say we? God bless you guys.
Right.
God bless you guys. You got Pryor and Wood on the team.
Right.
Oh, well.
We're not. Those are just extra.
Pryor's going to pitch tomorrow. Speaking of that, right? Isn't Pryor supposed to pitch tomorrow?
I think if it's Monday, yeah, I think so. Yeah, Monday.
Yeah. Did you hear about Gavin Floyd's first outing for the Sox, Dad? Did you, Tom?
No, I didn't.
Did you miss an inter-squad game last Monday? He injured himself pitching an inter-squad game. He sprained his ankle. That does not bode well. Yes, although I guess it's not supposed to be serious. And then Bobby King said I don't know. I think the mound. I think the mound's maybe higher or something in the American League, or he gets scared. I don't know.
Right.
Facing Canerco? Maybe he's facing... Okay, here he goes. Again, it's unfair, the 2-on-1. I'll say maybe he's facing some real major league hitters, and he got a little bit nervous. I don't know. I was picking something like that. But, again, I didn't want to take any cheap shots.
No.
But,
hey, what's the word on Bobby Jenks?
Bobby Jenks has something about shoulder tight. Shoulder tightness for Bobby Jenks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, what do we have in
that? So, the uniform isn't the only thing that's going to be tight, huh?
That's right. No, he lost 25 pounds.
Okay, that was a cheap shot.
Charlie Hager pitched 2 shutout innings. I do think I'm going to change my mind. I told you Floyd was going to be the fifth starter for the Sox,
right.
But I think I want to go with my favorite Charlie Hager. But anyway, that's all.
I know Don Smith is a big Charlie Hager fan.
Is he really? No.
Well, he went to see the Sox last year. Was it last year with Hager? Did he pitch last year, right?
He pitched in Major last year a little bit.
When did he make his major league debut as a starter?
I believe last year. Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. And so Don saw that, and he says, I saw his only major league start of his career.
Is that what he said?
Uh-huh.
I don't think so.
Get a rough outing. So.
A dancing medicine show of Charlie Hager.
I like it. A 22-year-old knuckleballer. I mean, come on. Got to like that.
I do, too. They had him on. He was on a radio station last week, too. I guess he was considering pro golfing, and then he switched back to a knuckleball and sticking with the majors, I guess. I think someone told him you don't get paid every week in golf unless you win, then I think that I should say it.
Charlie Hager was a teammate of James Wisniewski, the defenseman of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Really?
I think it was in high school in Michigan, yeah.
Really? He played hockey too, then I take it? Or no? I like the Hager.
I don't know. Wisniewski's a real great hockey player, and he's saying that he played ball with Hager in high school, so up in Michigan.
Huh. You never know. You never know.
No.
What can I tell you? So tomorrow more games, Ted?
Yeah,
tomorrow, the Pirates at the Blue Jays.
Back in Dunedin.
And then on Wednesday, I've got the Phillies and Blue Jays are matching up. So that's
dinner
about
at
it.
Do you know who's
pitching? House
who's pitching, Ted?
Yeah. Tomorrow, I really don't know. I just read where the Pirates are going to move Freddie Sanchez over to second base now.
Okay.
And they're going to have a battle for third between Jose Castillo and Danny Bautista.
Uh-huh.
So we'll have to see how that plays out.
Quite
that
battle, okay.
Not that what happens with Jose Castillo, but
right.
I heard Jack Wilson kind of trashed him at the Pirate Fest.
Oh, really? What did he say?
I'm thinking of that. It wasn't either Sports Weekly or whatever, talking about him being lazy and didn't do his work ethic correctly and yada yada. And supposedly Castillo lost some pounds.
From what I read, Jose Castillo had some family problems, and he said my mind was totally off the game. He said, it shouldn't be. I should come prepared to play, but to be honest with you, it was not. Things are resolved now, and I've lost some weight, and I'm ready to play. So,
of course, I guess I wonder, who's Jack Wilson to criticize?
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Exactly.
Well, if anybody leaves that team, though, it's probably Wilson.
You think?
Out
of those two?
He seems like the leader of that ball club.
Right.
I know Bay's out there and he puts up the numbers, but Wilson seems like the heart and soul of the Pirates.
Oh, you said leave, not leave. I thought you meant leave as in depart. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, you too. Yeah.
See? It's a Florida connection. That's why they don't have it.
Probably.
There you go.
Well, we got an email from Gordon. I'd like to read. And Chuck, you may be most qualified to answer this question, or at least I think you're most qualified to give your opinion. Gordon is an APA player. He says, which three seasons between 1960 and 1980 do you think were the best or most exciting to replay, Gordon?
Interesting. We got an APA question.
Go figure.
Well, I mean, you know what? I'm always partial to 1964 because of the close races in both leagues. That's one I'm always partial to. 1980, huh? Well, it depends what you like, too. And, of course, 68, some people, like the Mike Bunches of the world, love that beautiful pitching that happened in 1968. I wasn't a big fan of that. But if you like close races, 64 or 67, and then from the 70s, maybe 78, American League East was pretty
right.
good.
I guess I look at it in a different way than you do. I'm a big fan of almost any year in the 70s because I guess it's a good balance between, you know, pitching, speed, you know, power. You don't have an overabundance of one over the other, and to me, that's one of the more important things when I do a replay of any type of a baseball replay. But that's, you know, I know you don't have pitching doesn't overpower batting or hitting, pitching, that kind of thing. And to me, that's kind of important when I do any sort of replay.
Yeah, a lot of great names in that era too, of course.
Yeah, and I guess another important thing for me, I guess, when doing the 70s is that I was growing up during that period, and yeah, I was born in 64, so if I, 1960 or 61, there weren't too many players in the National League that I could really identify with.
Of course, with any of the replay stuff, I mean, for a true baseball fan and historian, it's okay to go back. I mean, I don't mind looking at those things from the 20s or 30s because, a lot of the players, if you don't, you learn about them.
And that's how I know my baseball history is from doing those APA replays in 1949 or 41. That's how I know my baseball history is because I knew the players and I looked them up and who is this Roy Stevers guy and that kind of thing.
Right. But, I mean, it depends on the 1961 is always a classic one too that people like.
Right.
The big home runs. And of course, those home runs, it's funny you look back and 61 was always the gold standard for power until you look at a lot of the 90s stats and you look at the 90s stats and, man, they were, 50 home runs is nothing exciting anymore. Well, maybe it is again, but.
Yeah, it is now, by the way. We have another email from Tori. And I think Troy has the idea that I'm a Cardinals fan, and so I have to take that in consideration. I'm not a Cardinals fan for anyone out there, so please understand that. Troy says, hi from Troy, why don't the Cardinals sign Mark Redmond? Drop a line to Walt for me. Anyone out there have any idea, any opinion why the Cardinals don't sign Mark Redmond?
They're busy signing, Chris Carpenter and others. Although Josh Fowler, they got Kip Wells, I'm sorry, let's say Josh, but I want to link those two together. They got Kip Wells, I don't know if they're...
Right. I think he was with the lone all-star from the Royals last year, is that correct? And I don't think that was because he was,
Thanks to Ozzy.
Yeah, exactly, it. Right, yeah.
like them.
I don't know.
Is he still a free agent, Tom?
This may be a little outdated, I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's signed yet or not.
Right.
I read just in the past couple of days, a link with, Clemens. The Cardinals are interested in Clemens, although nobody thinks that he'll go there. But who knows? Or, I've heard the Cardinals mention one of the teams chasing Clemens, but I don't know if the feeling is mutual. I would think, Clemens would be either Yankees or the Astros.
I think, from what I'm hearing, that Clemens is pretty much either going to go to the Red Sox or the Yankees, and probably just the Yankees. is what I'm hearing.
Good friend Andy Pettit.
Yeah, right.
Pitching for the Yankees.
Oh, are the Astros out of the mix? Are the Astros out of the mix?
No, I mean, they're still there. He was in camp last week.
Ted, I highly doubt he's going back to the Astros. I think it's pretty clear he's going to go to a team that is going to be in the playoffs. I may be wrong, but I don't think the Astros are playoff bound.
No, the perks about the Astros, though,
what's that?
Are that, you know, when he's not pitching, he can be with his family.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he also can rehab at his own minor league teams and get that revenue.
Right.
And his son's with the organization.
That's true. That is true.
So those are the perks there.
Right.
But I think if he's going to pitch this year, it's going to be with the Yankees.
Right.
To say nothing of the $16-17 million per season, that's not a bad one for him, too.
And that's why even better instead of for Clemens, I think.
No, I wouldn't rule out the Astros from what I read. I wouldn't rule out the Astros. I think the Astros can offer something that no other team has, a chance to play with his kid. You know, I don't think his kid's put up big numbers, but, hey, they could write it. Hey, you're going to bring him up in September, and you're going to play with him in the majors. Who knows? They could make a stretch or something like that. But we'll see.
Hey, Tom, what were you doing today?
I went to a exhibit at the at the Early American Museum in Mahama, Illinois. It was a talk about the Three I League, which is Illinois, Indiana, Iowa. And actually, it was very interesting. I was not that familiar with the Three I League. And for those familiar with the Midwest League, which is a single A league in the Indiana, Illinois, Iowa region.
King County, member? King County Cougars?
Yeah, exactly. The Three I League was sort of a precursor of the Midwest League. There was a gentleman who came and spoke on the Three I League and its history. The Three I League existed from 1901 to 1961, and it had like 10 Hall of Famers that were on teams in this league. One thing that was really interesting that Sean Lee and I were sitting in front of this gentleman in the audience who raised his hand at the end and said, "I faced Satchel Paige twice and I beat him both times." And we were like, "What?" And it turned out he was, his name was M. Franson. And, apparently he did. He was a pitcher and he faced Satchel Paige in the, I'm not sure what league it is, but he played for Flatville, which is a town not far from Champaign-Urbana. And, he said he faced him twice and not only did he beat him twice, but the last game he struck him out to end the game. It was quite a story. And he had spoken it out. He said that Satchel Paige, had two pitches. He had a fast pitch. And he had a faster pitch. But this guy had to be like 85, 90 years old. I mean,
I was going to say, he couldn't be any spring chicken.
He was just barely getting around. He wore a baseball cap. And he had a
was this in a Three-I League he did this, or in the Negro League?
Three-I League.
Three-I League, oh, okay.
The Satchel Paige was probably on a Negro League team that was barnstorming, you know, at the end of the year probably, and would face the Flatville team. And the guy behind us was, you know, just faced them and as they tend to do, they barnstorm around and face them. But it was a very interesting hearing talk about it. And the whole exhibit was very, interesting to get a sense of how this league operated. And apparently one of the big players at the beginning were like Mordecai Brown and Burley Grimes and players like that. Red Faber, players like that were a little instrumental in getting this league going. So it was kind of
cool. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Now, when did the Three I League run? Do you have any idea on that?
From 1901 to 1961. So it operated for 6 years.
You know the teams involved at all?
The teams were...
It's from Champaign-Urbana.
No, not Champaign-Urbana.
Really?
It was one town that was not in. It was like...
You know what I'm saying? Don't ask me why, but before you go, I guess Danville was one of them. I don't know why.
Springfield, Bloomington, Rockford, Davenport, Dubuque, Evansville.
Okay.
Those were a few of the teams that were in the 3-I League. And the teams were in and out. I mean, there were some teams that were in for most of the league's existence, but most teams were in for just, you know, a fraction of the league's existence and got out, and some maybe actually even got back in again, but, for the most part, it was it was pretty dynamic, let's put it that way.
That sounds good. What was this guy who gave the talk? What was his connection to the league?
When he got out there, he was he was a little fanatic and kind of, he said, "Okay, I'm not a baseball historian, you know, and you guys probably know more about baseball than I do." And I said, "Oh no, this guy is, you know, real academic and probably doesn't know anything about baseball." And well, actually, it turns out he really did know a lot, and it's very interesting. He basically just did this, he was a librarian, and did a lot of research on this, on this topic, and boy, he really did a lot of research and did dug deep into the archives of the Baseball Hall of Fame and a lot of the libraries and the towns that the league was in. It was very interesting how much work he did.
It's a labor of love for a lot of
right.
folks.
Yeah.
Did Champaign-Urbana ever have a minor league team?
Oh, they had semi-pro teams.
But not any sort of,
you might want to call a minor league team, like an A-ball team or anything like that. No, I don't think they have.
Why do you think that is? College students?
Probably. A competition with...
Prefer to enjoy hanging out on Green Street than on a field of green, so to speak.
Yeah, I think a lot, maybe competition with the university team, maybe. I don't know. It's pure speculation on my part. I really don't know.
Well, you know, up here, I mean, King County, as you know, and Ted knows, I mean, here at King County, which is about, 35 miles outside of Chicago.
Sure.
And they draw routinely 300,000 to 500,000.
Right.
You can't get near the place in the summer. As soon as September 1st runs, maybe other playoffs then. There's like nobody in the stands, but it's, for the regular season games, they pack them in.
Right, right.
It's a big experience. Right. It's a lot of fun, too. It's a lot of fun. You know, parking was free the last time I went there. Maybe it's $2 now. I don't know. But it's a different experience. But, a pretty ball game likes the minor leagues, too, down there in Florida. Some of those Class A games. You gone to any of the workouts at all, Pete?
No, not this year, no. We're down here a little bit later, so just watching the game, coming home for a week, and then going out to the Cactus League.
My buddy Aaron Rowan been playing at all?
Aaron Rowan, yeah, he's out there. Nothing one way or the other on Aaron.
I keep mentioning him for Linebrink.
Linebrink, yeah.
Linebrink, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was talking to a Philly fan today, and he was saying, gosh, I'd pull the trigger on that in a minute. I guess the Padres are balking.
Really? Yeah, I guess the Padres are balking. Why? Who are they going to get to play the outfield with, Victorino?
The Phillies are saying they'd play Chris Roberson.
Can't we get him back for cheap? Why can't we get one of those young arms? No, I'm serious. The White Sox.
I thought we were going to do something with Javier Vasquez and get Rowan back. But
I was hoping. I can't know if I can handle another year. Ozzie, I think in the same interview where he was ripping Brandon McCarthy, said something. He says, Javier Vasquez has a stuff to win 20 games. I think it was Mike North was interviewing him. He says, well, why doesn't he? He says, I didn't say he will win 20 games. He just said, maybe win 15.
Oh, he's got great stuff for innings 1 to 5.
Sure. Oh, right.
Inning 6, he gets lit up like a firecracker.
I think it's a little bit of innings.
He never challenges anybody,
No, as soon as he gets in trouble, that's it. He bails. That's it.
He
could pitch. He'd be good for relief, I really think. I know it's an expensive proposition, but the guy's great for a couple of innings. A couple of innings.
Talking about converting a starter to a reliever, the Phillies, actually, I heard it from like two or three different people, said that Brett Myers, they might convert him to be a closer. Because I guess they got six starters counting Myers.
I've heard that rumor to me, I think, Ted.
I've heard that rumor, but the guy I heard today on their ESPN said there's no way.
No?
But I don't know. That's
how I look at it. And Myers was out there for the opening Philly spring training game pitching as a starter.
Right.
So I don't think there's anything to it.
Okay.
Who's their closer? I think Tom Gordon, but I think they have somebody else or no?
Tom Gordon, he's their closer. And then they've got, as a setup man, they've got the Freak.
Which one?
Alfred.
Oh, right, yeah.
I like Tom Gordon, but I don't know if he can close anymore. Right. I don't know. I like him a lot. I mean,
I don't know.
The Sox, I liked him a lot. He was tough, but I don't know. Yeah. It'd be kind of interesting.
We'll see.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe he can keep that arm on.
Good idea.
Chase Utley just signed a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you're missing Zealot Radio because we discussed that in show number 9 or 8.
I think the Phillies are being very short-sighted signing Ryan Howard to a $900,000 deal.
How's that?
Yeah, they don't have to sign him to a big money deal,
right?
But he definitely is worth it. And when he's got an opportunity to leave, why have any loyalty to this organization at all? $900,000 a year,
right?
For one year, right?
It's one year. Is that right, Tim?
Yeah, right. But I mean, when they're paying Utley, what, $8 million, $10 million?
Sure. Yeah, it's $7 million, I think.
Yeah. I mean, this is the NLMVP, and you're going to pay him $900,000.
But from what I understand, we were talking about Ryan last week, and his mom is very, his mom gives Ryan an allowance, and he's very penny conscious, and $900,000 will go a long way.
He might not want
way.
More money. Is that what it is?
He might not. He might not. That's right. And, $900,000, even in Chicago, can go a long way. And I think probably in Philadelphia, too. So I don't know. I guess
probably. Yeah, but it's not the NL MVP.
Second year.
No, it's a third year. Is that right?
Third year. Well, he came up in 05. But I mean, how much do they have to pay him? They only probably had to pay him.
Oh, they don't.
No, well,
it's the point of it, though. I mean, in this day and age, when you're talking about why isn't there team loyalty, that's why there's no team loyalty.
I mean, if they could pay him more, they should have. I mean,
I think so. I think that's very silly on the Phillies' part myself.
I mean,
I think it's kind of like when Andre Dawson came to the Cubs and
right.
he said, you know, write whatever kind of contract you want. Then he goes out and wins the MVP.
Right.
I think the Cubs should have gone right back to him and said, you know what? You did that for us.
We'll
here,
do it for you.
A blank contract. You write it up. We'll sign.
I totally agree with you, Ty. I mean,
you know Burley was offered.
Especially since Ryan Howard is such a class act. And I really
think
exactly. he is. He really
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what, they're not, next year they might do it. I mean, you know what I mean? It's still a nice raise. I don't know. I'm not, I hate to defend
how much of a raise is it? What do you get paid last year?
Probably about $500,000 raise. Like, you know.
Okay, I hate to, you know, nitpick, but that's not much of a raise.
I'll take it. I'll take my
okay, yeah, I would too, Chuck, but if I were comparing myself to, you know, Chase Utley or anyone else, that's not much of a raise, you know.
Yeah.
In today's market, it's not much of a raise.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, Ryan has a chip on his shoulder or
he's
mad
know.
About this or anything else because I've seen nothing to substantiate that. I just think that the Phillies could have come to the plate and said, hey, you know what? You won the MVP. We're going to pay you like an MVP and that's it. You know, we're going to take care of our own. And I didn't see that happen.
No, I'm in total agreement with you, Ted. Well, let's close out the show. You've been listening to Baseball Zealot Radio. If you want to email us, our email address is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. If you want to give us a call, our phone number is 217-883-4571. What's our web address, Chuck?
BaseballZealot.com.
BaseballZealotRadio.com.
Well, that's our full email address. That's right. I thought you meant a regular web address. I'm sorry.
Chad, you having fun down
here? Don't
ask those questions.
Yes, I'm having fun down here. Awesome. Make sure you stay warm, okay?
Remember, Ted, the chatterbox has got a good breakfast, supposedly.
Ted, if it gets down to 60 degrees, you put a sweater on, okay? I don't want to
see brr.
Brr.
Wow.
You know,
that's like my in-laws. They call it. It's a little bit of a chill. It's 45 degrees in this morning. What is it now, Mom? Oh, it's 75. Okay.
Get a free breakfast at the hotel I'm staying at.
Nice. Are you dipping into the 60s yet? Are you dipping into the 60s in cost yet, or I want to know that when we come back.
Not quite.
No,
hey,
that's good.
All right.
I'll see you guys on Friday. I'll report on the other two games.
Ted, any last words?
No, that's about it. I'll talk to you in a couple days about the next two games I go to, okay?
Chuck, any last words?
Baseball's in the air. I refrained from commenting on the Veterans Committee because it's a bit delayed, but maybe another show.
Yeah.
I was wrong. But baseball's in the air. Good luck to you, gentlemen.
All right.
Have a good trip. You're back in town on Friday. Back to the bitter. It's going to be the 40s on Friday, Ted. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'll wear a sweater.
Okay, everybody,
there you go.
Thanks for listening, and we'll be talking to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having us.
All right.